You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
Hello. Hello, how are you, Dr. Anderson?
I'm doing well, good to hear your voice.
Well, it's wonderful to hear you.
Yes.
I've been anticipating our show starting, and I just want to say good afternoon to our listeners, and this is Reverend Dr. Carolyn Landers Pettigrew today on Faith and Family. We will discuss women in ministry. And our focus is on ordained ministry. Since the earliest days of the Christian church, women have served in vibrant foundational roles as lay leaders, as teachers, missionaries, evangelists, and so forth. Gradually, as the church recognized that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon both men and women, denominations in various times embrace God's call upon women into ordained ministry. Today, we have with us Reverend Dr. Amy Anderson, pastor of Zion AME Church in Delaware, Ohio. She's joining us on Faith and Family to discuss and share her journey as an ordained woman in ministry. Welcome, Dr. Anderson.
Hello, hello. Glad to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. Also, I want to make sure that I say happy birthday blessings today to you.
Why, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's a special day, isn't it?
Very much.
Yes,
special people are born on this day.
Yes. Congratulations also on your appointment as pastor to Zion AME.
Thank you. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to serve not only God, but to serve the people of Zion.
Yes, yes. And that's your expression of service to God through those wonderful people.
Yes.
I'd like for you to take a minute, if you will, and please share about your appointment, when, how long, the mission maybe of the church, and tell us a little bit about Zion and where it is.
I was assigned Zion AME Church in Delaware, Ohio, actually on September the 28th. My first Sunday in the pulpit was October the 3rd, and I've been there ever since. And within the AME Church, the church at which I've come, itinerant elders are assigned to churches on a yearly basis, and once a year, we have annual conference, and at that annual conference, either the minister is reassigned to a church or moved to another church. And right before our annual conference started, the bishop laid upon his heart, God laid upon his heart to put me out in the field. And so here I am at Zion.
That is wonderful. So out in the field refers to your being a pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
So what
yes,
were you
ma'am.
Doing prior to that?
Prior to that, I was serving as an associate minister at St. Paul AME Church here downtown in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
So I've did that for several years.
Well, that was wonderful, a wonderful training ground for you, wasn't it?
Oh, my, yes, yes. I've served under some great leaders.
Yes.
If you're here in the Columbus area, Reverend Dr. Michael R. Bean.
Yes.
I answer my call under him and watched him maneuver through the call and how to be a priestly pastoral pastor.
Yes.
It was great learning under him. And Dr. Taylor Thompson, I served under him. And now currently we have Reverend Kevin Cooper, who's fresh to St. Paul, and I've served under him. So I think I've had three great leaders to learn from propelled me. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you have. And that is wonderful preparation for you. God was certainly ordering your steps, wasn't God?
Yes, he was.
Yes,
yes, God was.
Well, tell me a little about the mission of Zion.
So, as I said, I'm literally just 1 month in in serving Zion. And we actually had our first church conference last night where I met with them and just to listen to them. My mission is to listen to them, see where they are, to see where they want to go. And I reminded them I'm just the under-shepherd of the church.
That's right.
The flock, the church belongs to them, and we will work together to serve the people of that community. So our mission is to preach practical gospel, to minister to those in need, to serve our community, all while giving spiritual edification to the members in the church and the community.
That is wonderful. That's wonderful. I was looking on the website and I saw, didn't I see that you had a coat drive or something?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. upon my welcoming there at the church, they were in the midst of having a coat drive for the local school. It's literally right next door to the church. You can walk to it. So they're already in partnership with the school, and we've donated 40-plus coats to the school, hats and gloves to those youth in the community. And we're currently, unbeknownst to me, there's a need for cereal. And so our church has collected cereal this past week, and we're up to like 50 boxes of cereal to donate to that school as well as one of their outreach for the families there in that community.
That's wonderful. So the cereal's what served to them at breakfast when they come to school?
No, actually, they supply like grab bags for the kids to take home on Friday.
So leave with
cereal, non-perishable goods. So we just wanted to play a part in that, and they ask for it. And when you call on Zion, we deliver.
That is wonderful. What a wonderful partnership with God and serving the community as you're doing there. And I thought it was wonderful when you said you just had a listening time. That's really a big part of pastoring, isn't it, being an ordained pastor and leading people. Well, working with people. You're under-shepherd, as you said, working with them, listening to see. How did you learn those listening skills, Dr. Anderson?
I can say at St. Paul.
Okay.
I can say that, and I've learned it through just observation of, you know how you go into something and you say you wish I could change that, I would fix this, I would do that, and just making mental notes along the way of some things that I would probably do if I were given the opportunity to pastor. But also I would mainly say that my father, he was a pastor, and just being a child of the parsonage and listening to him and watching him and observing him taught me that you must listen to the people.
Yes, you do.
At the end of the day, everyone wants to be heard.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And it makes a big difference whether you do or not, whether you can, you will have a success in God's eyes of serving God and serving the community. When you work together, that comes out of listening. People feel heard and respected, don't they?
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, you mentioned that your father was a pastor. And I was going to ask you before we talked about your journey into ordained ministry, I was going to ask you about that, and you've shared that a little bit, that your dad was a mentor for you. He was a life lessons, so to speak. But before we talk about that, I wondered if you would tell us just briefly a little bit about the African Methodist Episcopal denomination.
So the AME Church was founded in 1787 by Richard Allen and Absalom Jones. They were members of St. George Methodist Church in Philadelphia. And I'm sure if you've heard anything about the AME Church, you know that one Sunday morning they went to the altar to pray. And in the midst of praying, racism showed its face.
Yeah.
And the members of the church tried to pulled them from their knees while praying and told them that they couldn't pray at that time. So Richard Allen and several of his friends and counterparts left church, and they started the Free African Society. And from there, it's been the AME Church. We were birthed out of the Methodist tradition, so he just decided to add the African Methodist Episcopal part to it, and here we are.
Okay, now that is a wonderful story, and I knew about it, but I wanted our listeners to know about the African Methodist Episcopal Church, because we hear about so many other mainline churches, but that is one that I think our listeners would love to know more about and really appreciate the history and the way that the Lord moved those men to be free of any encumbrance. And that is what it means to be free in the Lord. That's a part of it. And so they, now after that, I imagine they had followers that followed them the church.
Yes, we were the first African-American denomination to form, and branched off of us started many others. So we are the first. If you were to Google first black church, you will see the African Methodist Episcopal Church. We started the plight, and here we are.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. And that was in the 1700s, isn't that something?
1787, yes, ma'am.
That's wonderful. That's something to celebrate. It just shows how God moves, and you're still here today serving God and serving the community.
Yes, we're in 20 Episcopal districts. We have India is included in. Multiple parts of Africa. We have the Caribbean. We're pretty much everywhere.
That's wonderful. 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 I wanted to ask you to begin to share about your own journey into ordained ministry. We know that women have served just in strengthening God's church since the church began, really, and in Jesus' time they served, and we call that category, we would say, lay ministry. But as I shared in my opening statement, eventually denominations began to get the revelation that the Holy Spirit was poured out on men and women, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that they began to, in their various times, call upon women and to respond to women's call into ordained ministry. And I was at your ordination. It was beautiful. And I saw your wonderful family and your father and your mother, and I believe your sister was there. Mm-hmm. And I know my story, but I think our listeners would love to hear your story. Just from the earliest time you can think of, what was your journey into ordained ministry?
The earliest story, before I get to the ordained part, I knew God was preparing me for ministry, serving with my dad, doing hospital visitations with him, visiting homes, giving communion. I do believe it was then and there that God was shaping me for ministry, what I'm doing today. But my earliest recollection of entering into the ordained ministry, it was pretty scary. It was pretty scary because I entered, I didn't know, I knew God was calling me to do some work, to do the work. I didn't know what branch of the ministry that I was going to go off into, either the chaplaincy or just exhorting or pulpit ministry. So that was kind of like terrifying, just really just trying to turn my ear to hear what God was saying. But I can say that I didn't hit many road bumps. The church was very welcoming of me as a woman, of course, because we had crossed that path years ago. Years ago, so it wasn't hard. Every now and then you run across someone in the world or in the secular world that don't believe in women ministers, but I let that go like the water on a duck's back.
That's right. You just have to pray for them.
You have to pray and keep moving.
And
but
keep
in
moving,
regard,
as my grandfather mm-hmm. would say. Yeah.
And keep it moving. But in regards to entering into the ordained ministry, my church was very welcoming. St. Paul was very welcoming. Even ladies that were already called and doing the work were very welcoming to me and kind of like took me under their wings to show me the way.
That's wonderful. Well, if we could back up even further, because I'm thinking even about myself as a child. Were there, it's not thinking, because that is true about your call. It doesn't show you, you don't discern right away where mm-hmm. the beginning or end of your call is going to be or the shape of it. But God just begins to nudge you. Well, first out of love for the Lord mm-hmm. and love for Jesus Christ and for God's people and for other people. And you said you went around on hospital visits mm-hmm. with your dad. Was
yes.
that while you were a teenager or?
Yes.
How, okay. Can you say a little more about that? How God
yes,
was moving in your life in those early
man.
Years?
It was, I would visit with him, travel with him, ask questions. I was curious of how he would handle death and how he could be so strong in the face of death, in the face of trauma.
Yes.
And just seeing him go the extra mile for others, leaving our family to be there for people to journey along the side with him. I knew it was something always intriguing that he was doing. And I think it was then that God was planting that seed in my heart to do what I'm doing today. But it was early on. And though I may have shied away from it going into college and in my early years, it was still there. And so when I came to answer the call into the ministry, I knew it had to be something because all I knew was mulling through my dad. I knew he was a pastor, but I loved being in hospitals and it was just something different about me.
Yeah,
different
yes.
about me. I can go in a funeral home and serve
yes.
and still be strong in the midst of sorrow.
Yes.
So
yeah, I understand. Yes,
mm-hmm.
because
and
my
that's
first
where it started.
Yes, and that is a Holy Spirit gift. That's a gift that you have. I remember I had no really personal experience with death and dying. Before mm-hmm. I was graduated from seminary, my children were adults then going into college, but I'd had my call all my life and mm-hmm. recognized really at 16 and expressed. But my first call was as a hospital chaplain, and
mm-hmm.
I can remember that empowerment. You know, if I had thought about it in my rational mind, I would have thought, oh, no, I can't do that. But when my pastoral care professor asked me to come and join him and to do that ministry with him, I was just amazed at how God mm-hmm. empowered me and gave me favor in the environment and with the patients and the love. You mm-hmm. know that's coming from the Holy Spirit because it's not a love that you just decide to give. It's a love that you have for the people that you're serving and who are suffering and who need God's word and presence through you.
Yes, and I'm shaking my head and smiling. And when you said showing that love, I mean, it's God giving, God ordained, because I know in the face of walking into rooms, knowing that I wouldn't be welcome, knowing that
yes.
They probably don't believe in young African-American female preachers
mm-hmm.
at that,
mm-hmm.
and being able to stand at that bedside, offer that prayer, touch their back, and
mm-hmm.
offer, you know, it's that's only God.
Yes, it's only God.
That is
it's
only God.
Only God. It's only God. I know what you're saying. I have come down the hall because I got the call and seen just that stare of hate
yep.
and just keep
oh,
moving
yeah.
on in and love. And next thing you know, There's just love and presence mm-hmm. of the Spirit right there, and you're able to comfort the people, and they call for you. They look for you. They want
yes.
you to come to their loved one's bedside and to have services with them and pray with them around the bed. So that is such a joy, and it's such a privilege. It's such a mm-hmm. privilege. Mm-hmm. Well, that is exciting.
I do want to mention, maybe someone is listening and we hear the joy, the privilege, the blessing in it, but there is a little struggle in it.
Absolutely.
Go through a lot.
A lot of struggle.
It's a lot of struggle. It's a lot of clocking out, getting in your car and crying, right? And having God build you back up. That's when we lean into God and get our strength.
That's yeah. right. And yeah. that's probably, when you think about it, one of the positives of being in ministry when you have a little more life experience on you.
Mm-hmm.
I think mm-hmm. that can be a blessing. Not to say at 22 or 25 or whatever, whenever you are able to express that call, God leads you. But when you have some life experiences and some wisdom, God, and some knowledge, God gives you that. He gives you all those gifts. I was prepared in my bachelor's through speech and hearing therapy. That was my bachelor, but that's what my mentor advised me to do, get my bachelor's and then go mm-hmm. forward into mm-hmm. My master's of divinity and ultimately the doctor of ministry. However, there was a break there, and I married and raised my family and all mm-hmm. of that. I was active in the church, but all of that I saw as ministry, as we speak of it, yes. as lay ministry, and very involved in it, and still holding on in my heart that at some time God was going to work it out into representative ministry, not knowing mm-hmm. all the answers and all the shape, but I knew, and my family knew, that eventually, you know, God was going
yes.
to lead me into that. And I think that's somewhat of your story to also, isn't it?
Oh, my. Yes, indeed. Yes. It's all shaping. Having kids, serving at St. Paul, college, you know, every relationship that you've encountered, it was all shaping.
That's right. God uses it all.
Yes, he uses it all. Nothing is wasted. No
That's
experience.
Right. He uses
no,
it all.
He is a redeemer, so everything that you've gone through, God will use it.
He uses it all. And,
yes,
and
yes,
I always
yes,
remember admiring you because it kind of was similar, not the same, but similar, because I had raised my little children and I was involved in the church and you were raising your little children. And I always admired the balance, because God is calling you to balance. And to those who are listening, God is never going to say, if you've been led into a marriage or led into having your children and your family, God is never going to pop up and say, oh, leave those people and go mm-hmm. over to another country. I was always baffled by that, when people would say, well, God is calling me into ministry, and I'm going to leave my family, my little children, everybody, and I'm going to go way over there. Well, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you have to have some wise mentors to go through the process of discernment
yes.
with that.
Yes. Family is first ministry.
That's what I think. And I always, that was true for me. And not because it was true for me, I thought that was great, it was true for you. But I always admired the fact that you had that faith-centered balance. And, you
yeah.
know, that takes trust, doesn't it?
It does.
That whatever God is planning for you, it's going to come about.
It'll come through.
It will come through.
That's trust, and it takes years. Some may have it overnight, but it took years for me to develop that trust.
That's right.
After bumping my head up against the wall a couple of times and having my as we call them, little hissy fits and pouting.
That's right. That's right. That is so important that you say that. Because sometimes I have talked with young women who are, you know, thinking, you know, struggling, wrestling with mm-hmm. what God is wanting them to do with their lives. And is it in this service of God as pastor? Mine was primarily as an educator. And so God prepared me through my bachelor's, through everything. Now, I ended up working for the National Church as the minister for children and families, but it was the educational route for me. Yours is the preaching, and mine had a pastoral care element to it. Yours, of course, would do that. But there, sometimes I've talked to young women, and they're not clear on what they should do. But mm-hmm. there's also a kind of pie in the sky, a naivete, thinking that, oh, if I go and do this, then my life is going to be perfect. I'll have no struggles. I'll have no challenges. And that just isn't the way it goes. In fact, sometimes the closer you get in a spiritual life, these challenges come up, and you trust in God. God is there. And so there are struggles, there are tears, there are joys. There are things that we rely on God and our sisters and brothers in the faith to walk us through and to hopefully grow from. And mm-hmm. That is a caution sometimes that I've had to make, because it's not a easy. It's not going to get rid of all your troubles. It's not going to get rid of life, because this is life, and we have to live mm-hmm. life. This is where we are. We're human. And so I wonder what one or two or three things would you say to a woman who is wrestling with whether to go into ordained Christian ministry?
The first thing I would say would be pray and fast. Prayer and fasting. That would be the first thing to do. The second thing I would probably say would be to serve where you are. Serve where you currently are. Mm-hmm. You are where God placed you, and you're there for a reason. You may not understand why you're there, why God won't release you from that church, why God has placed you at that church.
Okay.
But I would say serve there. And if you're currently doing that, you prayed, you fasted, and you served, and you've given it your all, God, I'm pretty sure God has been giving you nudges at something to start a ministry, to write a book, or just to say, do something. But that step will be taking a leap of faith.
Yes.
Take the leap of faith.
So there's some waiting there, right?
Yes, yes. It's a lot of waiting.
Yes.
It's a lot of waiting. So if God has been nudging at you to go to seminary, that's what I did first. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew God was calling me.
Okay.
I knew that there was this call in my life, and I audited a class at Methesto.
Okay.
Just to
see
what it was going to be like.
Preparation is important, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Preparation is important.
So out of the class, go sit and speak with someone, but it does take time, and it does take preparation for you to do what God is calling you to do.
That's right. That's right. And it's people sometimes look in the pulpit. They want the I had a woman say to me one time, I want to do what you do.
Mm-mm.
And I was at a church downtown, First Congregational, and I was the associate, and I was doing pastoral care and over the educational programs, but I was the Sunday liturgist. And I was just stunned by that. I thought, all the years that God has been preparing me in all kinds of ways, raising children and all kinds of challenges as well as wonderful things and all. And all she saw was I put on a robe, and on Sunday morning, I stepped up there and I was the liturgist.
No, 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 no.
And so she said to me, I want to do what you want to do. And I'm thinking, you haven't any preparation. You've told me you don't even enjoy sermons. That's not your thing. That was the phrase that was used. That's just not my thing. And I'm thinking, so it must just be for the form. It must be for the form. It can't be for the content. And that's one of the things that I would say to listeners, too. It's not about the form. Mm-hmm. It's about the service. It's about the faith. Yeah. It's about the love of God and God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And God's people and community. And
I will also add to that, to be careful what you're wanting. She doesn't know the turmoil, the warfare.
Yes,
that came with
warfare.
You.
Thank you.
That comes thank into that position. So, I would, if you're listening and you see someone that you want, or you're desiring for that position, or want that anointing, or you want that preaching style, just be careful with that.
That's
God
right.
will give you what you're desire, what He desires for you to have when
that's
it's time.
Right. That's right. That is so very important. Important discernment and surrounding
mm-hmm.
yourself with wonderful people of faith. That was always my gift, of faithful prayer partners, prayer warriors,
yes.
who surrounded me all my mm-hmm. life. And in different forms, God made it possible for me to be with people. And the first one, of course, was in my family. Everybody in my family served the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I had preachers in my family. We had started a church before I was even born. That's still going on, Greater 12th, in Columbus. That was years ago, my grandmother. And so, and her family. And just being surrounded by faithful people. But even if one doesn't have that, because people can be called in all kinds of circumstances, it's mm-hmm. important to be discerning and to have faithful people, mentors, prayer
yes.
partners, around you too, so that you can discern that, well, hey, how deeply can I trust when the warfare begins? Because believe
Ooh.
Me, the deeper you get into the Lord, the warfare does
warfare.
Come.
Warfare.
I had a spiritual mentor that taught me that, and that's a whole nother conversation, isn't it?
It sure is.
But then we trust. You know, I was going to ask you, as we've been talking in a minute, I'll have to take a break. Well, in fact, before I ask you that question, I'm going to take a break right now. So let's
okay.
just take a little break.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio. The way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jess.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward, doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run with those scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Well, we're back, listeners, the Faith and Family listeners, and we're glad you're with us. And we continue now with our conversation on women in ministry with focus on ordained path to ordained ministry. And we're with the Reverend Dr. Amy Anderson, pastor of Zion AME Church in Delaware, Ohio. We're back, Dr. Anderson. I'm so glad
yes, ma'am.
With us today. This is fun.
It is.
It is. It really
it's
is.
It's been great.
Let me ask you something. Now, I was always taught, and I always did this, you know, I talked about faithful prayer partners, mature people that I could walk with me, and I could go into my family, I can go into my childhood pastor. But once I was in seminary, and I started when my children were like in junior high school and then took a very slow boat. Someone said, oh, she finally graduated. It took me a long time because I waited till they graduated from high school. So I would take, you know, one class, you know, because I still want to be, you know, a volunteer in the school and do all the things that, you know, and do what I need to do with my husband. So I took a very slow boat. But once
For the person that's listening, that's taking the very slow boat, your diploma does not say the day you started and the day you finished. It says the date that you finished.
That's right. That is so true.
Take your time.
That is so true. Because I always say, well, I'm a greedy person. I want to experience all of life, all of my family life, you know, and
yes,
all.
Ma'am.
And I was serving in the community too. But what I was told once I started into my ministry, started with chaplaincy and all of that, that I should always be in spiritual direction. I should always have, and there are other ways to do that, but for me, through the between the seminary and the doctoral program, I went into training for contemplative prayer groups, learning how to do contemplative retreats. And we were taught, because you are dealing with this world, the realm, the human realm and the spiritual realm, that you should always have a spiritual companion or a spiritual director that you meet with regularly to talk about what's going on in your spiritual journey so that you keep your self-balance and yourself healthy, because ministry does take so much out of you, because you're giving to everybody, and there's so many high expectations for you. What about your journey in that? Do you have a spiritual mentor or a spiritual companion or someone that you can meet with regularly to talk about ministry, talk about you, your life, your journey, pray with you, pray for you?
Oh, my, yes. We, within the AME Church, we have an organization called WIM, Women in Ministry, and I have a group of friends within the district, our district here in Columbus area, that I know that I can reach out with issues that pertain to anything when it comes to the denomination or pastoring. But when it comes to my spiritual walk, things that are close to my heart, things that I'm wrestling with and praying with, things that I know that I can't share to someone within the denomination.
Yes.
I do have a group of ladies that I surround myself around, and especially during the pandemic, we met once a week on Zoom just to check on our spiritual well-being, to uplift each other, and to share and pray weekly. But I do have several people that I can connect with. They keep me grounded.
Yeah,
I can call and vent, and they let me vent, and they bring it back to the cross. So, yes, I do have that group of women to help cover me and protect me in prayer.
That's
and
right.
Praying for my family.
Yes.
They're praying for my well-being.
Yes.
So, yes, they are in the background.
You know, that is just wonderful. Well, I knew we were the vernacular soulmates, but I knew we were because that is true of me. As a layperson, as a young woman, and then in ministry, always having those relationships. And it's wonderful that the denomination has an organization that is formed for that purpose. So many denominations don't have that, and you know, but there are ways to get that and seek that. And I think I would add to that list when we're talking to the audience that you need right now to ask God to lead you to a prayer partner or prayer mentor, a spiritual companion or director, someone that will do the things that Dr. Anderson has just described for you and with you. That is so important. Don't you think it's essential to ministry?
It's so key. And God will send the people that you need.
Yes.
If you pray and ask God, I want you to discern who they are. And if you're having some trust issues, you don't know if you can trust a person. One of my pastors who I served under, I asked them that question. I said, how do I know that I can trust the person that I'm about to confide in?
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, he said, you tell them something that you don't mind the world knowing. And if you hear about it, you know that you can trust that person or not. And so I've never had to do that.
Okay.
It is a good lesson. He said if you hear it again and you know you only told one person, you can't trust them. So God will send you the right person. And observe people.
Yeah.
Observe.
That's wonderful. I've never heard that, but I think it's great advice. I think it's actually great advice. And I do know in my realm that I serve and all, you know, there are people who are trained to do that walking with you, who love you and pray for you, and they're trained to do that. And I, as a part of pastoral care, have been engaged in doing a lot of that, and that was kind of how it evolved. Even during COVID, we couldn't meet together in church, but it was a blessing to be able to do a lot of spiritual support and pastoral care through the email, as it were, and over the phone. So God makes a way. God makes a way. So that for our listeners, they need to know that in this journey of exploring what to do and how to do it in ministry, God will make a way, and you need to discern and listen and then seek. Talk to a trusted person who can guide you. And there are people, there are lots of, I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't been surrounded by the
exactly.
women prayer warriors praying and lifting me up and keeping me going.
We call those the great cloud of witnesses.
That's right. That is a great cloud of witnesses.
The great cloud of witnesses.
It surely
mm-hmm.
is. It surely is. Now, we've talked, we've sort of integrated all of that, your journey and then advice to our listeners and just giving it, you know, in faith and in trust and just praying that listeners who know someone who is wrestling with this question, should I go into ordained Christian ministry, or is God calling me to be a wonderful lay person? Lay people
mm-hmm.
Do wonderful, magnificent work. The when I was, I would say when I was about 15, God had been moving me and in me, and I was always in church, we all were, and such loving people, and just loved by our church. We young people were just treasures to our black church, and I just
mm-hmm.
appreciate that so much, and rooting for us. And I had a Sunday school teacher, Mary V. Webb, and our church had hired her. She had graduated from Virginia, Virginia Institute or Technology or somewhere in Virginia. I'm not quite remembering, but she had graduated in Christian education.
Mm.
And the church hired her, and she did all of our Christian education, and she taught our Sunday school class. And she was such a woman of vibrant faith. That is how it had been working in me all these years. It had been working with me. I was kind of still a child. A fight broke out on the playground, I'd start praying. You know, people said, oh, look at her. She's so big praying. But that's just how God worked with me. But her testimony was so wonderful and so vibrant, and she lived and loved the Lord so much that was one of the ways that God used in my teens to sort of crystallize my call. And I went, I told my parents, and then I made an appointment with my pastor, and I shared to him. But at that time, the shape of it was Christian education, because she was a Christian educator. And so he told me, he said, you get your, go to Ohio State, get your bachelor's, and then I'm going to arrange for you to get a scholarship to go to the school in Virginia where Mrs. Webb was a graduate. And, of course, many years transpired, and I've already told you I married my college sweetheart after we both graduated, and
mm-hmm.
He returned from the service, and we began to raise a family. But always, always there was that that seed and that love of the Lord that took so many shapes, and I was able to express that in all shapes of ministry, in my life, in my volunteer work, and in my church. And that's what it sounds about, that you were that's what people have to understand. You want to, you ideally, it may not turn out that way, but ideally, you want God to help you to live the life
mm-hmm.
of a servant in all kinds of ways, and then to direct your path in that direction, whether it's ordained or lay ministry, but in the love of the Lord for the service of the Lord, one and all, because you're going to serve
mm-hmm.
God's people. And you may think, there's a quote, somebody, one of the guys on our staff at the church used to say, oh, I love people. I love humanity. It's people I can't stand. Well, that was a joke. You know, when he'd get
uh-huh.
upset with somebody in the church, you know, he was the associate, and he would be spouting off in our staff meeting. He said, oh, I just love humanity, but it's the people I can't stand. But that's what God helps you to do, because we all have our warts and all, don't we?
Mm-hmm. That's
right.
And
someone has to love us supernaturally with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God gives us the power to love the ones that we serve, even though we see their foibles and our foibles, you know.
They're growing. Mm-hmm. All of us have growing edges, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes.
Let me ask you as we move towards the end. You know, is there a scripture that you love? I know there are many. I have many that come to mind when different things happen. But is there a scripture that comes to mind that is especially grounding for you in your faith and your work? But, you know, I'm going to back up from that before I ask that. We've talked around it. We talk about how glorious it is to serve the Lord, but we've also said there are challenges in life, challenges in ministry. Not being too revealing, but what might be one challenge that you have experienced as you've walked along your journey? That someone else might have.
I being totally open and honest, I don't mind sharing. I can say before I received this church, I felt a burning, very strong sensation to pastor about 5 years ago. And I knew I wasn't ready. So my challenge was trying to overcome personal internal turmoil of me saying I'm not prepared, they don't want me, I'm not ready, why they looking over me. And so I just thought what I was going through, I'm like, God, I know I felt you. I know you are calling me to this pulpit. And I was even like mad at, as we call it, the system of the church. All politics. It was all this. So I went on my rant and rave about 5-6 years ago and saying that they don't want me as a woman. I've got all the education. And so my challenge was overcoming personal, what I thought were attacks. But it was just God still saying that I'm not ready. I'm still preparing you.
Yes.
And unbeknownst to me, within those past 5-6 years, the things that God took me through will definitely not have prepared me for this first month that I've had at Zion.
Wonderful. That's a praise report, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a praise report because God was calling you to deeply trust, lean not on your own understanding. And he was also calling you to wait. And you had to discipline yourself through prayer and certainly talking with your spiritual companions and sharing, being honest in confidence with people that you could share with, and praying and all. As a former Bible study, she's in heaven now, one of my Bible leaders when I was a young homie, work on that flesh, press that flesh down, that ego. I'm ready. But you knew in your heart. That's the neat thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, she was back there saying, yeah, but you're not ready, Amy. You're really not ready, Amy. And then the temptation. How about that? Mm-hmm. The voices that
you're not good enough.
But think about how God kept you.
Yes,
kept you from blowing up so that you wouldn't have this wonderful call you have now.
And that's it. And for someone that's listening that could be facing that and going through that, I encourage you to push through because it was hard.
Yes,
pushing back, going back to serve.
Yes.
Year after year, Sunday after Sunday, ministry after ministry, going back to serve, knowing that I was having this wrestle with my flesh.
Yes.
And all of that, and still having to serve God's people. So it was a lot of crying and counsel and building up.
But you know, this is not just the same for the listener. This is not just the same as Jesus on the cross or Jesus in Gethsemane, but Jesus did say, hey, take this cup,
yes,
but nevertheless, thy will be done. And in a sense, while it's a different circumstance, all together, God was sort of saying, this is the cup I'm giving you right now.
I love that.
Is the cup I'm giving you right now. And I know you want me to take it away. I hear that. But this is what you have to have right now. And I tell you, on a personal level, you know, as since I, you know, took the slow boat and my children and all, and you had your children, I'm excited about it coming now because your children are older.
Yes.
That's what I love about it. How old are they now?
My son is 12, and my daughter is turning 9 in 2 weeks.
See, I just think that is so wonderful because they now can just move along with you. They've had practice all these years. They've been But now they can move along with you, and it just totally and a lot of the no, you still have caregiving to give. I don't mean to say that.
Oh yeah.
but I'm saying a lot of the what we want to do as mothers as we are, we want to be there when they're tiny, when they're small. We want to be there. And you did that.
Yes.
Now,
someone else
doesn't have to, but you did that. And now they've got the foundation to move with you in God's time.
That's it. And they have been amazing with this transition. Leaving St. Paul, the church that they were birthed in and baptized in, to now to this church. So I thank God for even preparing them, preparing their hearts, even my husband's heart. For this
That's
journey.
Right. We can't forget our husbands.
And
they're wonderful. Aren't they wonderful?
Yes, they are.
To be in this
support
with us is it's wonderful.
So all those 5-6 years of struggle was preparing them as well.
That's right.
So you have to look at all the moving pieces of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's a praise report. That really is.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I would love to go back to the prior question, but we've had so much fun. It's now time to bring our program to a close.
Oh, no.
Yes, I hate that. You'll have to come back. But
anytime.
Yes, I'd love to have you back. I want to usually close with a poem or prose, and before I do that, though, I want to say to my listening audience, thank you for joining us, and thank you, Reverend Dr. Amy Anderson, for joining the Faith and Family listeners and also joining me, Carolyn Landers Pettigrew, Reverend Dr. Carolyn Landers Pettigrew, on this program today. Thank you so much for sharing with me about women in ministry, in ordained ministry, and your own journey, Dr. Anderson. I appreciate it so much.
Yes, ma'am. I've enjoyed being here. It's been a blessing.
Well, good. It's been a blessing to me and our listeners also. And now, listeners, I'm going to end with a reading, a prose, The Wisdom of Hildegard of Bingen. In the Holy Spirit, there is the union of eternity and identity. The Holy Spirit is like fire, but not an extinguishable fire. At one moment, visibly ablaze, at another, quenched. For the Holy Spirit produces eternity and identity and joins them so that they are one, just as someone binds together a bundle. For if a bundle were not bound together, it would not be a bundle, but would be scattered. The Holy Spirit is the fire and life in that eternal eternity and identity, because God is alive, for the sun is bright, and its light blazes, and it burns that fire that illuminates all the world, and yet it appears as a single entity. Anything in which there is no force is dead. Just as the wood torn from the tree is dry because it has no power of greening, for the Holy Spirit is the strengthener and the quickener of all. Thank you.
So when does it start?
It starts in the ocean. And when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta. Make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping? Never. Let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountain tops with snow. The Sierras in the Rockies. Snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. I'm riding. We'll hit
you with the... You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.